Chapter 10. Lexi got out of her car in the parking lot of the Brook Ridge Retirement Community Center in a cloud of flower dust. She'd spent the afternoon at the bakery, waiting for delivery men and logging and stocking ingredients. Somehow, she'd gotten flour all over her black t-shirt and jeans. She batted at her clothing to try to brush it all off. Lexi opened the door to the community area. Nans came rushing over to greet her. "Lexi, we've got something very interesting to talk to you about." Nans grabbed Lexi's hand, pulling her over to the round table where the women from the Ladies Detective Club were waiting.
"Good to see you too, Nans."
Lexi's sarcastic smile made Nans laugh.
"Sorry, dear."
Nans gave Lexi a hug.
"Of course, it's always wonderful to see you. Now sit."
She pointed towards an empty chair. Nans whipped out her iPad. Placing it on the table, she turned it so Lexi could see the screen. The women leaned in towards the center of the table, excitedly.
"We found something that might be a clue," Nans said in a hushed whisper,
her eyes dramatically darting from side to side. Her fingers deftly clicked the icons on the tablet. Lexi looked down at the image of a newspaper page. The headline read, "Bridge Repair Fund Missing Money."
"A news story?"
She looked up at Nans. Nans nodded.
"The story says a government project to repair bridges has been found to have funds missing. The project is one of Jason's pet projects. Read it and you'll see for yourself."
Lexi picked up the iPad to read the story while the ladies watched her in anticipatory silence. Putting the iPad down, Lexi bit her bottom lip.
"This is interesting, but it says they don't know where the money went. I mean, it could just be lost in the system."
"Or someone could have embezzled it. Maybe somehow Kevin was involved. Being Jason's brother, he might have had an in. And that's what got him killed."
Ida interjected from the other side of the table. The other women nodded in agreement.
"But why use my cupcakes to do it?" "Probably just a coincidence. Poison is a non-violent way to kill someone, and you are the only bakery in town."
Nans let the sentence trail off.
"Now, tell us what you found out at the wake."
Nans leaned closer, her eyes as big as saucers. Amidst a chorus of gasps and ohs, Lexi told them how Jason had told her Kevin had been asking about her. She told them about the woman with the expensive shoes who was Jason's assistant and also dating Kevin. She purposely omitted the part about the man warning her off because she didn't want Nans to worry. Finally, she told them how Jack had mentioned something about blackmail.
"Aha! That's it."
Nans put her fist in the air.
"Kevin was blackmailing whoever took the money from the fund."
"Or Kevin took the money and someone was blackmailing him," Ida said. "The crying woman is interesting. You said she's Jason's assistant. I wonder how she can afford those shoes,"
Ruth said matter-of-factly.
"You know," Helen said, "I remember seeing an episode of Murder, She Wrote, or maybe it was Columbo, where the murderer was the secretary who had been embezzling money and had to kill the sister who found out about it. Maybe it was the assistant. That would explain how she could buy expensive shoes."
"Now, don't forget she was Kevin's girlfriend, too," Nan said.
Lexi's head was spinning with all the possibilities. She felt her heart sinking.
Now there were too many suspects.
"It seems like there are a few possibilities to explore now."
Lexi felt a little overwhelmed.
How would she narrow it down to the killer? "But we are making a big assumption. The missing funds have something to do with the murder. It could be something else entirely."
Nans gave her a knowing look.
"Dear, trust me. We've been doing this for a while now. We know when something feels right. And this feels right, doesn't it, girls? Lexi looked around the table. The women nodded their agreement with all the confidence of seasoned detectives. Lexi stood up, a heavy sigh escaping her lips. Thanks for the information, ladies. I guess I have a lot to think about now. It's all in a day's work, Nan said, then added, We're happy to help, but do be careful, dear. Don't do any detective work on your own. If you need to do something dangerous, call Jack Perillo first. The mischievous glint in Nan's eye was not lost on Lexi. She chose to ignore it. Bidding the women good evening, she turned toward the door, hoping for a non-eventful ride home, where she could spend a relaxing evening with a good glass of wine and sprinkles at her side. Lexi pulled into her driveway. She felt exhausted. Everything that had happened the past few days was starting to take its toll. A glance at her overflowing mailbox reminded her she had forgotten all about taking the mail in. She grabbed the pile of mail, clutching it to her chest. Wrestling with the key, she managed to get the door open without dropping the mail. As usual, Sprinkles was there to greet her. Lexi bent down to pet the dog, then crossed the living room to the kitchen, tossing the pile of mail on the table. A strange-looking manila envelope slid out to the side. Lexi picked it up, perplexed as to what it could be. She didn't remember ordering anything. She recognized the handwriting on the front, and her heart froze. It was Kevin's writing. Lexi threw the envelope down, backing away. She felt fear zinging through her body like an electric current. Why would Kevin send her a package? Lexi was torn, curious to see what was inside, but afraid at the same time. Tentatively, she reached out for the envelope, touching it gingerly as if it might bite her. She sat down, perched on the edge of her chair, the envelope in her hands. Slowly, she slid a perfectly manicured nail under the flap, tearing it open. She tipped it upside down. A small blue notebook slid out onto the table. Lexi took a deep breath. Picking up the notebook, she opened it to the first page. She felt her brow furrow when she saw what it was. Just a jumble of numbers, with what looked like dates and words that looked like they were in code. What the heck is this? Lexi peered back inside the envelope. It was empty. No note or other communication to tell her what the notebook was about. She leafed through the book, but there was nothing in there to tell her what it was, just page after page of numbers and garbled words. She sat back, blowing out a rush of air through pursed lips. Now what? Clearly, the book had something to do with Kevin's murder. If only she could figure out what all the numbers and words meant. With a start, Lexi realized having the book could be dangerous. What if the killer knew Kevin had this book and figured out he had mailed it to her? Lexi felt anxiety gnaw at her stomach. She had to get rid of it. She knew the book should be in the hands of the police. Sneaking a peek out her kitchen window, she could see lights on at Jack's house. Much as she wanted to avoid him, she knew she should give him the book right away. She jumped up from her chair, her mind made up. She went out the back door, shooing Sprinkles inside when she tried to follow. Crossing her yard, she wriggled through the gap in the fence, popping out the other side in Jack's yard. Lexi felt butterflies start swarming in her stomach, and it wasn't because she was nervous about the book. She couldn't deny she felt excited about seeing Jack again. Try as she might, she couldn't get last night's kiss out of her mind. She felt a warm glow below her stomach. Cripes, stop acting like a hormone-rattled teenager and just give him the damn book. She started up the slope to Jack's house, but what she saw in his living room window made her stop short. Silhouetted in the window were two figures, talking and laughing. One was Jack. The other one had long, curly hair. His girlfriend? Lexi felt a ball of anger in the pit of her stomach. He had kissed her
just last night. Tonight, he has another woman at his house. She knew she didn't have any claim on Jack. After all, it was just a kiss, not a commitment. But she felt cheated just the same. Maybe it was because of the hurt she had felt when Kevin had cheated on her. Maybe she was overly sensitive. But whatever the reason, she was too mad to go to Jack's house now. She turned abruptly. Scurrying back through the fence, she crossed the yard to her kitchen, slamming the door shut behind her.